Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. For the hour, we have with us Rachel Eve Holmes, soprano and winner of the 2012 Neil Silva event, and her pianist is here also, Claire Mallory, and welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
You've been busy.
I have been very busy. Lots going on. Just closed a show with Four Seasons Theater and starting a new one right now with Fresco Opera Theater. Can't complain. Madison's kept me busy since I moved here.
That's right. Now, you're originally from, is it Jonesboro, Georgia?
I am. I'm from Georgia originally. Haven't lived there in 7 years, but originally born and raised there.
And so how did you get into music there?
I was part of a great church music program, great community theater, and a wonderful choir, the Spivey Hall Children's Choir, that I got to tour with a lot as a child, got to go to Europe really young. A lot of wonderful opportunities in a surprisingly small town with a lot of great things happening.
So. And what brought you to Wisconsin?
A teacher, Julia Faulkner, came here to study with her.
You still are, I guess.
I am. Yeah, still studying.
And so do you remember your first operatic role?
Oh, yes. Well, what was my very first? My very first full operatic role was sophomore year of college. I was Papagena in The Magic Flute. Smaller role. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
You could say papa a lot.
Yes, lots of papa.
And before we let it slip entirely, you are on the other end of your career in September 7th through 9th or something like that. You can correct me on the dates.
That's perfect.
You are going to be in a rather different production. It's something called The Good, The Bad, and The Divas.
Yes, sir. That's Fresco Opera Theater's newest production. It'll be at the Overture Center the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And it's a spaghetti western-style opera. It's a pastiche-style opera. It's taking pieces from existing arias, duets, trios, ensembles, and putting them into a new storyline. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm a cowgirl in that one.
There is a video, a trailer on YouTube also that you can check out if you don't believe what she's saying. I mean, this is definitely a spaghetti western opera.
It's going to be really kitschy on purpose, really fun, something not to be missed, especially for people that aren't sure if they like opera. I really think it's a great starting place to get your feet wet with opera and have a lot of fun.
So, well, this mixing of genres, you know, there can be no end to it. There's so many possibilities, so why not the spaghetti opera? And, of course, well, Puccini wrote, you know, The Girl of the Golden West.
That's
it's been done, but not quite this way.
Exactly.
So, what's the role you play in that?
Kid Clementine. I'm a murderous feminist, I would say. No better way to describe it.
Yes, the trailer, it's all ladies.
Mostly, yeah. There's some men in the show, but most of them are men that have done us wrong, and we're getting back at them.
Getting back at, yes, mm-hmm. There's a scene that looks like the Distaff version of The Magnificent Seven, where you're all coming at us
exactly.
Down the street with your shooting irons and all
That's
that.
That's what you're going for.
Well, let's see. Let's go for spring, even though I know it's summer is on the wane, but one of the things that you have here is a piece by Charles Gounod. And
yes.
Shall we start with that
sure.
then?
Des cieux, viens suivre les.
By Charles Gounod. Can we talk about this?
Sure.
So why do you sing with your hands over your ears? You look, don't take this wrong, but you remind me a little bit of The Scream, you know?
Oh, no! Well, for this purpose, for today, I just decided to have my hands a little bit over my ears just to not listen to myself too much. Mm-hmm. My teacher sometimes gets on to me about over-listening and analyzing what I'm doing while I'm doing it. And sometimes if my hands are a little bit over my ears, I don't pay attention to as much to the feedback that's coming back to me.
Sure.
I just pay attention to the sensations in my body and what feels good.
Hmm. We should have brought you a headset in here, I'm sure. We could have had something with no audio in it that would serve the purpose, free up the hands a little bit.
Oh, that's all right.
But that's not a luxury that you have in public performance.
Exactly. It's kind of something I can do in here and not worry about it.
Are you affected much by what the audience is doing when you perform?
Not very. I actually really love to feed on the energy of an audience. I tend to like to see faces out there, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I actually usually thrive in an audience setting. I'm kind of a ham at heart, so.
Oh, that helps. That helps. Well, let's proceed then to something that takes us back to the 18th century, and of course, it's hard to go wrong with Mozart.
Sure, Ridente la Calma.
And what about Ridente la Calma?
Ah, this is a Mozart song. It's a very beautiful one. It's just about being calm in your soul and not letting any chains hold on to you that have previously held you back.
Concert aria?
Yes, often done in concert.
Disegno e timore. Mozart, and you're listening to The Midday, and live from our Buck studio, Rachel Eve Holmes, soprano. Her pianist is Clara Mallory, and we have the treat of an entire hour with them and their talents, and it's a diverse program, too, that we'll have, as you'll see shortly. Is there a composer that you have recently, say, discovered? I put that in quotation marks, and you think, oh, yeah, well, where has this composer been all my life?
Sure. I've done a lot of Gounod arias, I would say. So I've not recently discovered Gounod, mm-hmm. but I've not done a lot of Gounod songs. And I don't think they're done as often as the usual other French composers that are done in student-type recitals. Mm-hmm. And I've really fallen in love with Gounod's songs. They're very lovely.
He's an interesting composer in that he was obviously one of the most prominent of 19th century French composers, and yet one does not seem to hear his music that much in concerts. I mean, you know, the symphonies.
No.
And
aside from Faust and Romeo and Juliet, really, mm-hmm. you know, not a whole lot more vocal music is heard as
but
often.
There's quite a bit of it there. Now, for contrast, as promised, you're going to take us back to Renaissance England and a song by John Dowland. I hear often people say Dowland, but he didn't write anything very upbeat, did he? There are all these kind of, you know, lachrymose things.
They are.
I don't know if that was a nature of Dowland or the nature of his times in Elizabethan England.
Perhaps.
But I guess that that sort of song was more fashionable now that I think of it. But the songs attributed to Henry VIII and even Anne Boleyn tend to be things, alas. You know, of course, in Anne Boleyn's case, there was a good reason. It was a difficult family to be in. But what about this song?
I just find it very beautiful. Again, I've not done a lot of Dowland until recently, and it's been a lot of fun to try to understand this type of song and how one might sing it a little differently than other types of music from later time periods.
Sure, that's right. Yes, you do have to go back, don't you? And what's the name of this one?
Come Again, Sweet Love Doth Now Invite.
Sweet love doth now invite, thy graces that refrain, to do me due delight, to see, to hear, to touch, to kiss, to die with thee again in sweetest sin. Yeah.
Well, that John Dowland, he did not fail to disappoint, or should we say, did not fail to live up to the reputation of Elizabethan melancholy.
Sure, there. Exactly. It's kind of got the feeling of courtly love, almost.
Sure, yeah. And that's kind of an interesting choice that you have to make, because this probably originally was what for just a singer and a lutenist,
a lute,
you know,
mm-hmm.
in a very quiet, intimate circumstance. But of course, if you're going to sing it to 500 or 1,000 people, you have to project it a little bit more than that.
Sure, exactly.
We'll be back with Rachel Eve Holmes and her singing. And back we are from our Buck Studio live with soprano Rachel Eve Holmes, one of the 2012 Neil Silva winners, whom you may have heard previously here on Wisconsin Public Radio in that context. And now we're going to go back into the 19th century and actually into the world of opera for a few minutes with that from Jules Massenet. And what would this be? This is from Manon.
This is Adieu, Notre Petite Table from Manon.
Do you want to tell us what that, goodbye, our little table?
Sure. Manon in this scene has decided to leave her lover and go with another man who can provide her more fame and riches. And she's guilty about it. She's sad about it because she really does love him, but she thinks this is the best choice for her at the time. And
security.
Yeah.
Gotta go for the security.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So she leaves him, and she's literally saying goodbye to the table that they ate at every day.
Oh, okay.
It's tragic.
That's a good lunch hour song to pick.
Exactly.
Ces beaux jours déjà passés.
Farewell to the Table from Manon by Jules Massenet. Oh, you are, Rachel, you're from Georgia.
Yes.
And how do I put this? When one enters the arts and one is from a section of the country that's associated with an accent, is that something that you have to somehow work with? Do people that you study with say, you know, it's very nice, but you're singing your French with a Southern accent, or you're singing your English for that matter with one? How do you work with that? Do you have to?
I think sometimes I do. I think it's a question of vowels. Sometimes in the South, our vowels are really far back in the mouth. And we've had to work on that in my singing a lot. Luckily, I never had an extremely pronounced Southern accent speaking, and it's kind of been neutralized through the years, through years of conservatory and living in different parts of the country. When I'm home, it comes out a little bit, the drawl, but I just have to be very cognizant of it in all of the languages I sing in, sure.
Do you tend to pick up the vocal patterns of the people you're with?
That's true. There have been lots of studies on that.
Have there?
That I've heard on NPR before, actually, that we sometimes can mimic what's around us.
Oh, sure. Definitely. I mean, yeah, I'm familiar with that phenomenon. I just didn't know how extensive it was.
I think for me, living in Boston, I might have picked up some vocabulary from from them. Maybe the word wicked I picked up out there. And then some slang when I lived in Colorado, too, that's more west. And then here, I don't know. I'm not pronouncing bag quite yet.
Well, that's right. Yeah, there are certain Wisconsin vowels that are definitely pronounced, so to speak. Back to Rachel Eve Holmes and her music. And we have at hand a composer whose name is not a household word.
Donaudy. Probably not.
Yes. What about Donaudy?
Well, he wrote his songs in the antique Italian style, but he's actually a more contemporary composer. So this piece may sound like times gone by in Italy, those types of romantic songs, but it was actually written more recently than that.
And what's it called?
O del mio amato ben.
Sol nutro
not the only Italian composer to go retro. I mean, look at Respighi, of course. He did the same kind of thing. It worked very well for him, too.
That's true.
Lovely, lovely stuff. You have some more Mozart for us.
I do, yes. Actually, this is an aria that I'll be doing in the Fresco show coming up.
Oh, really?
And this is a lesser-known Mozart aria, Barbaro, o Dio mi vedi, from Il Re Pastore. It's an earlier Mozart.
Yes.
And not as often done, so it's a fun one.
Oh,
Barbaro from Il Re Pastore by Mozart, sung by Rachel Eve Holmes here in our Buck studio for this edition of the Midday Today. And quite a treat we're having, too. We'll have more from her and her music live from our Buck studio. And, of course, the repeat of today's 12:30 quiz question right after this on Wisconsin Public Radio. A composer, if I remember the story right, who made more money than Mozart doing the same job before Mozart had it.
Oh, wow.
Was Gluck.
Yes.
From whom we do not hear that much today either.
No, not a whole lot.
What are we going to hear now, though?
This is Odel mio dolce ardor, and it's actually often studied by quite young singers. It's in that 24 Italian songs and arias hits that a lot of young singers study. But I think it's a beautiful piece. It's not given enough credit in its own right that it's a beautiful piece, not just a study piece.
All right, we'll upgrade right here.
Hopefully.
Nice little response effects from the piano in that one.
Definitely.
Our pianist being Claire Mallory with our soprano Rachel Eve Holmes during the Midday Today. This song by Grieg is maybe his most famous song, barring things maybe from Peer Gynt.
Probably. I would think so.
It's certainly an easy-to-remember title, Universal Sentiment.
Exactly.
I love you.
Du mein Gedanke, du
Best known song, probably concert song anyway, by Edvard Grieg. Now, Rachel, after you perform in The Good, the Bad, and the Divas,
yes.
Where do you go from there?
Well, from there, I've got some concerts lined up. I'll be doing a gala in October in Colorado. Also, later in September, I'll be doing a recital in Chicago with a tenor friend of mine, Aldo Perelli. Let's see. Those are the things I have lined up so far for this year.
Well, you've got...
We'll see what's next.
Yeah, you have a pretty burgeoning schedule on your website.
Oh, yes.
So you can find that at Rachel Eve Holmes.
RachelEveHolmesSoprano.com.
Oh, is it?
Yes, kind of a long name.
I like that, Soprano.com. If you ever have your biography written, that's what it should be.
In this generation, yes. It kind of is a Soprano.com generation.
It is. It kind of is, yeah. Is there a composer that you think I'd, or a part that you'd say, boy, this, you know, I would really knock off a couple of other sopranos to get to this role?
Oh, well... Not for now, but in maybe 10 or so years, A Mimi in La Boheme, of course.
Uh-huh.
I would love to play that. I would also really love to do Despina in Così fan tutte. Very fun, very silly role.
Is it? Uh-huh. Okay.
Also...
Those are two contrasting roles.
Very contrasting. Despina would be something I'd do more now. Perhaps A Mimi later. Mm-hmm. Of course, I love the tragic heroines... Traviata, of course, is Violetta's one of my favorites.
To waste
as well.
Away again in that one.
Oh, too. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's some great scenes in that opera, though. Of
absolutely
course, you know,
beautiful.
The drinking scenes and that kind of thing.
Libiamo,
yeah. Well, speaking of Puccini.
Yes.
This is
another role I'd like to play.
Yeah, especially lately. This, by which I mean the last 30 years or so, this one really seems to have. Re-caught on, I guess you would say.
Definitely.
In its own right. And it comes from Johnny Skeeky, which is not the best known overall of Puccini operas.
No, not maybe not as much as Suor Angelica or La Boheme.
Sure.
Getting to be more well-known these days, I think, because of
it's a short
the resurgence.
Opera.
It
short
is. It's
slightly,
extremely short.
Yeah, and slightly odd in terms of the plot and everything, but you have this gorgeous aria that comes almost out of nowhere.
Exactly. Oh, mio bambino caro.
Mi piace bene.
That makes me wonder if sometimes a performer in an opera, or even an accompanist, such as in Claire's case here, has to really steal himself or herself away from the emotion of the moment. Right? I mean,
I think you definitely do. Uh-huh. If you get too into it emotionally, it can clench the throat or the jaw. Or, yeah, it can tighten up your belly and all these things that are not always great for good singing. So, yeah, you do have to remove yourself sometimes.
Are there some particular challenges for you as a singer? I mean, you know, personally, that other singers might not have as their number one thing that they have to work on?
I think number one for me is channeling my energy in a really productive way. I get excited about performing, especially in front of an audience. And I've had to learn through the years to be more calm, more peaceful within myself when I'm performing and find that kind of center, even if I'm excited. So.
And there is a certain science, isn't there, to the sequence of the pieces in a recital, in a program?
Oh, definitely. I programmed today pretty carefully to ensure that my voice wouldn't get too terribly tired.
Well, there's always that.
Not too many heavy hitters right in a row. Some lighter things next to some bigger things. Some things that are very easy for me to sing next to things that are a little more challenging physically.
Do you have a sense of how best to start a recital? What kind of piece to start with?
I would say for me, a pretty declamatory character helps, something to say. So I don't think as much about the technicality of my singing. So I like to start saying something fairly bold.
And you're also quite a proponent of contemporary composers, right?
Very much so. I've done quite a bit of new music premieres. I very much enjoy that type of music. I love collaborating with living composers, with student composers. I like trying kind of zany, wacky things and exploring the extremes of my range, things like that.
How extreme is your range?
Oh, well, pretty low. I mean, I sing down to a low G or F sharp.
Give us a low G or an F sharp there, Claire.
Oh my gosh.
So from there.
Down there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then one piece I recently premiered in Florida, the lowest I think was a G, and then the highest was a D sharp. So,
whoa.
Yes,
okay,
that was a little insane.
Good. That's pretty good.
But a fun piece, for sure.
Well, thanks for joining us today, or actually starring in the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
We'll look forward to hearing more about the good, the bad, and the divas.
Yes, sir.
Your upcoming performance. And our pianist has been Claire Mallory. Thank you also. Too far from the mic to to pipe in, but it certainly has been lovely hearing you and Rachel Eve Holmes. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.